You know, as a guy who took Spanish for 3 years, I didn't retain much of any of it. I have to, and 3 years is a long time, especially when you're a child, and that's when you learn the most things really well, but I didn't retain a lot. It's hard just learning it in school or through textbooks. Well, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop, or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. They are a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. I started Rosetta Stone and my Spanish skills have definitely improved. I can now say muchas gracias. It's really a better way of learning a language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Comedy Bang Bang listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/comedy. That's rosettastone.com/comedy. This episode of Comedy Bang Bang is brought to you by Espresso Monster. When you need energy on the go and don't have time to wait in line, grab Espresso Monster. Espresso Monster is a premium blend of espresso and cream made with freshly brewed espresso coffee, hormone-free milk, and a unique energy blend complete with taurine and B vitamins. Each can has 3 shots of espresso and comes in vanilla espresso or espresso and cream flavors. Close your eyes, take a sip, and enjoy Espresso Monster today. Keep your privates private and your notaries public. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Thank you to Slam Chops. Slam Chops for that wonderful catchphrase submission. First time we've been hearing from Slam Chops, I believe. Hopefully that is the first of many more, as that will not be our permanent catchphrase, unfortunately, as I did not like it all that much. But thank you to Slam Chops. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another week. Scott Aukerman, your host, and what an exciting week from the world of politics. Coming up, we will have Roman D'Ogrotes will be here. Roman D'Ogrotes will be here from the world of politics, which I believe is planet Earth. But first of all, let's get to our guest of honor. Is that a fair description of your place in the lineup?
I mean, I asked you to call me that.
Great.
My team emailed you.
And who's in your team, by the way? And we'll introduce you in a second. Like, well, let's run down the people. Who do we have?
Well, there's a guy that knows how to make bombs. There's that guy. Doug, sure, he's the bomb guy.
There's the guy who diffuses them as well, right?
Exactly,
he knows which wires to cut.
It's a zero-sum team where we build bombs and then we take them apart, and then one person emails in advance podcasts.
And then the other person deletes emails.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just want to leave everything just where you found it.
Inbox zero is our whole philosophy on that team.
He has a wonderful special of approximately 15 minutes worth of material coming out on Netflix. It's one of the episodes of the Comedy Lineup Part 2.
Yes.
Part 2. I'm going to take you to Part 2, as Big Audio Dynamite once said.
It was my idea for them to call it that.
Was it?
Yeah, they were going to give all the comics like
individual titles?
Individual names that kind of reflected the material or their personality. But I was like, what if we batch these in 7 or 8 at a time and call it the Comedy Lineup and then just say which part it is.
And I agree with this because I've gone on record with this before. I don't like spoilers in titles. So as far as I'm concerned, this is even too much of a spoiler. Yeah. I think it should be called Netflix. And everything on Netflix should be called Netflix.
Right.
And like maybe if you had to, Netflix number one, Netflix number two.
Right.
And that way you don't know what you're going to get. And it's like everything is a surprise, right?
Yeah. I don't like knowing who's going to be in the things. You know?
I hate that.
It's so fun when someone comes on screen. You're like, I had no idea.
I had no idea. Idris Elba is James Bond.
I don't even like knowing his real name, to be honest.
I hate that. Oh, my God. So I'm glad you're with me on this. But I will give people the information, I guess, that they need in order to search it out. The comedy lineup part two, I guess the title is just your name?
Yeah, Max Silvestri. It's just it'll be my name.
I wanted to introduce you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
It's just the episode title. We haven't said my name.
Okay,
yet.
We don't know who you are. Special. Although you did say it is my name. Max Silvestri is here. Hello, Max.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
A pleasure to have you on the show. This is your first time, I believe. Is that correct?
It is. Yes, it's very exciting.
But hopefully not the last.
God.
Do you want to do first and last while you're here, almost like renting an apartment?
So
we'll do an episode immediately after this one.
That'd be great. I'd like it to be kind of like a weepy kind of goodbye episode where we settle a lot of our shit we've had
exactly.
over the years. Pardon, my friend.
And that's not to say you're only going to do two episodes. We could do several more in between, but yeah. I think it's only polite to do first and last.
Well, I never want to come back and have the stress of this. Is this my last? I feel like that'll put a tension on an otherwise fun afternoon.
I actually now want to do this with every guest. And so I just can have a year whenever I decide to hang it up. I've already recorded a year's worth of just final Bette Midler singing right. songs to me types of episodes. Max, it's a pleasure to have you. You're one of America's, nay, the world's finest comedians.
Thank you.
Now, the last I spoke to you, and I'm guessing this was at the corporate premiere, or not premiere, but screening.
Mm-hmm.
Was this the last time I like physically spoke to you, I believe? Maybe, I don't even know.
Maybe at Nick Kroll's birthday party.
Oh, Nick Kroll's birthday party. I did speak to you. Okay. But in that previous conversation that I mentioned, you had just been on the road opening for friend of the show, John Mulaney.
Yes. He did quite a world tour this year.
He did a world tour. And you were opening for him every single they're not episodes, right? When you do a show?
I mean, we always call the show the comedy lineup part and then what number of the tour. So it was like 1 through 160. And a lot of times the audiences were a little confused why it was called that, who was going to be on stage. Then John would come on.
Then John would come out and they go, oh, I like him.
Oh, kind of spoiler that it's comedy, but I wish this had been called show.
Well, that's the unfortunate part. About having any kind of a career, it's a spoiler for unless you're Jim Carrey suddenly trying, you know, to do a drama with Eternal Sunshine.
Yes,
you know, he comes out on screen and everyone's like, ah, spoiler comedy, and then no, it's he's doing drama,
and that's the surprise. You know, you're Adam Sandler, you're punch drunk. Oh, he's mm-hmm. mad instead of happy or whatever.
Personally think that every TV show and movie should have actors in it who have never done any other project, and then they should retire, right? So it's almost first and last for them, because then there's no spoilers. They could be the people. We've never seen them in anything else.
I think the ideal TV show and movie that Netflix should have should just be like live feeds of like party bars in like college towns, and you've never seen any of these people before. They don't know that there's cameras are there. They're just having drinks with friends. There's no good audio, and then the bar blows up at the end and they're all dead.
Have I told you about my show though, Party Bar, that I have in development? Because this
I'm
is
so sorry.
Very, very close.
Can this be lifted out so this doesn't spoil anything?
We'll definitely lift this out, yes.
Okay, great.
160. Did you do 160 performances?
Yeah.
That's too many.
It was a lot. Sometimes we do two at night, so then you could have a day off, so it wasn't like that many days. But it was very fun. We got to go to a lot of cool towns. And
what's the coolest town in, let's say, first of all, the USA and then the world?
Ooh, wow, the world. Ugh. Well, USA, I think like Louisville might have been my new surprise. I know.
Really?
I mean, a lot of other great cities. I'd been to New Orleans, places like that, but Louisville I'd never been. And
I don't believe I've ever been either.
They make the bats. They have the, mm-hmm. the sluggers.
Does everyone carry one around in Louisville? Like, what?
I mean, not in their hands. They have these kind of
do they
like
have holsters.
Yeah, you know,
like
those
scabbards?
Like mesh backpacks that like teens have.
Oh, sure, the see-through ones now.
The see-through ones, yeah. Sure. The bats are in
I'm
those.
I'm a big fan of those.
Big fan,
and the reason why they exist.
And then there was also an underground. like salt mine that I took a tour of.
Whoa!
It was
still operable.
No, someone bought like an abandoned salt mine and was like, I'm going to turn this into like a fun Wonderland theme park. But ultimately, it's a mine under the ground and it's very depressing. And ooh. I just got an ATV ride through it and it was empty.
Could you lick the walls for fun? Sort of like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or?
You could, but it was, I mean, I think of chocolate as tasting good. And a lot of these walls weren't good.
They weren't good when you tasted them. Yeah. Okay. But salty? Salty as fuck,
as
they
say?
Yeah, they
were salty. Salty and chalky. I mean, a man in the back of the cave did make me an offer if I told him the secrets of the cave that I could have as many bikes as I wanted. I don't remember what happened.
That's so straight. Wait, you don't remember what happened after that?
No, in the movie. Yeah.
I don't remember a bikes part
of
that.
What is Charlie offered?
Charlie's, I mean, he drinks that fizzy stuff, right? And then he goes flying around like Superman.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? And his grandpa peer pressures him, although I guess your
flying
grandpa
around
isn't
like
your peer.
Superman, he kind of floats up on farts, and that's not how I think of Superman. Superman as flying so directly where he wants to go quickly.
I remember the Christopher Reeve Superman. He was farting a lot, as I recall.
Slowly lifting up.
Slowly. You will believe a man can fart and fly, I think was the tagline. Now, coolest in the USA is Louisville, and then what do you have in the world? Because what other continents did you go to?
You know, I realize I oversold the world tourness of it. Canada was the, I mean, that's part
and
of
that's still in North America.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh. Never went to the UK.
We didn't go to the UK. We didn't, yeah.
How about Australia?
You know, I feel like there's a lot of other countries you could list that we wouldn't have gone to because it was just North America. I mean, we did 40 shows in Haiti.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in a day.
That to help out there? Was that to help out the Red Cross?
You know, raising money would have been the good move. Yes. Ultimately.
You took money.
Yeah, no. We sold tickets, and then that money used to pay for things that he and I needed.
Right, like I notice you're wearing a lot of fancy jewelry right now.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Just diamond bracelets. Like, normally I would say four would be too much.
It's not that I bought all of these. Like, many of these were bartered for in Haiti, you know.
Right, exactly.
Because I had fresh water and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rattle your jewelry, as John Lennon once said, didn't
yes,
he?
He did say that.
Didn't
he
say that?
I think him.
What do you think of him?
Huh. I miss him. Where'd he go?
First of all, I think as musicians go, he was pretty good.
Yes.
And as people go, I'm not sure. I don't know where I stand on him.
I think it was nice that he spooned his wife.
Yeah, that is very nice. But did he only do it on camera? Like, was she like, John, I wish you would spoon me?
Suddenly the Rolling Stone photographer's not.
Sure, and now you're spooning me?
This is crazy that we're having like a Yoko Ono impression off because we're
nailing it. Yeah, exactly.
Spooky.
I have to say, before I started, I was like, got to make sure not to do this the way that will make it offensive.
Let's make it an abstract harpy yes, wife.
Exactly.
Offensive in a different way.
Sure. Ew, boy. What do you have these things seem to be these 15 minute specials.
Yeah.
It's a new idea Netflix is doing. You obviously have more than 15 minutes of material, although how long did you do when you opened for John?
I would do like about 25 or so with
25.
John. And I do have more. I mean, for the Netflix thing, I actually did a couple jokes multiple times. I was just, stuff was working, and I was like, it's like a...
Let's just put it in again.
Put it in again. And they were like, we can edit it and have play that. And I was like, no, I'll do new versions of it.
Right.
You know, I think what they're trying to do, which I appreciate, is like, it's obviously a big commitment to watch. They have so many one-hour specials, and it's like, I don't... If you're not a fan of someone, are you going to give that time?
Having worked with them, they seem very concerned about people finishing things to completion, which there's got to be a better way of saying that.
But they insist on that language.
Yes.
You're going to talk about
it. They always want someone to have an orgasm at the precise moment the credits start.
Right. And then fully empty themselves. Yeah. Which
when you see that countdown clock in the lower right-hand corner of 12, 11, 10, they want you to come the minute that it switches over to the next
program. And I usually come more than 15 seconds, like just the start to finish. So I'm like, this is killing me here.
Someone told me recently that when a man, I would presume, what's the word you use for it? Comes?
Sure.
His sphincter contracts five times.
To five times the smallness or five times like one, two, three, four, five?
One, two, three, four, five.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't say whether the third one is more intense than the first whether they decrease in intenseness.
It's a bell curve of...
But now that's all I can think about is I count them down.
Right.
Five, four, three, two, one. All right,
so it's beforehand or during? Are you tapping your foot while they're happening?
Yeah, I'm tapping my foot. Yes, exactly.
This is a good tune.
So I want to do it. I want to do it at New Year's. With 5 seconds to go.
I like orgasms I can tap my foot to. I like yes. a beat when I'm coming.
Sure. Yeah. So what do you have? What kind of material do we have? Is all thematic, or are you saving that for your hour or half hour? Or
you know, because it's short, I appreciate the I know you're a student and a fan of the craft, so sure, I appreciate certainly. You asking.
Start with your second best joke, end with your best.
Right, exactly.
That's all I know about stand-up. Right.
Never thank the host.
Of course not.
Yeah, especially not on a special with no host. I did. I opened with 5 minutes about the off-camera warm-up guy. Okay, so I don't know how that's going to play internationally.
And you only did the 15 minutes and said, I don't know what you could do with that, and you walked away.
I walked away, yeah. They're like, you have two more minutes. We can edit it down. You know, it's a little bit of like get to know me sort of material, and then
your point of view. As they say in the business, sometimes they say POV,
exactly,
which a lot of people are confused by, and they don't ask anyone about it, and they just live their lives in confusion.
Yeah, that's why when I talk about point of view, I talk about big P dot O dot V dot, so people know that it stands for something else,
right?
So I talk about. Myself, that I'm I'm a guy. I'm a straight guy that is nervous about other straight guys. And then I tell long stories.
Okay, so 5 minutes of short staccato material.
Exactly.
And then super long stories.
And then like glowering stares, like the end of each one-liner, just right. demanding laughs from right. the audience in this like, adversarial way.
I love your style. You have one of the most distinct, unusual, right. most unusual styles in the biz.
I'm one of America's most unsettling. Yes. up-and-coming comedians.
He really made me nervous
that
I was going to be attacked.
I thought I was in trouble. Like, I thought he not knew about something bad I'd done.
I was clutching the whistle I have around my neck.
I mean, I do hand those whistles out because there has been situations where people don't know how to, like, you know, let other people know they're unsafe. And now I
like those little, you know what? I like those little whistles, and I'm holding up a pen right now.
Sure.
You know those whistles that bobbies in the UK use, and they sound like, boot, and they sound very pleasant. Like a normal whistle that has the fat and the sort of circular end to it. You know, I call them American whistles.
Right,
American
I just
whistle.
Call them a whistle because I'm American
normative.
Of course,
normative. Yeah, yeah. What do they call Chinese food in China? I know your old joke. But you know the American whistle has the rectangle box in it, and you
and
blow
it. Has, like, a peach pit in it or whatever.
Yeah,
there's some rolling around.
Yeah, and it sounds so unpleasant. And then you got those little tiny like toot toot whistles that are like beep. Beep.
This is something I've never thought about.
And it's like, you know, it's a whistle. It's getting your attention like a whistle, but it's not that just garish sound like the American whistle.
You know, it's not the Bobby's voice. You're like, there's no way he could do that.
There's no way because is he saying toot toot? No, I believe right. I believe that is a whistle sound.
Is it to get the attention of other Bobbies?
It could be. Hmm. It could be for that singular purpose of no one else in the UK has this type of whistle. So if you hear this whistle, it's a Bobby. Or we're calling to other Bobbies. It's like a Bobby mating call, is that?
Right. It gets all the Bobbies horny in the area. So right. they're like going where the noise is coming from. Are they regulated, you think, like putting lights on top of your car in America where like where other people can't have Bobby whistles?
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I mean, I'm just workshopping material right now. So, and you're such a good comedian.
Yeah,
I need this fleshed out, basically. And this is why I do the podcast.
When I came in here, I had 15 minutes of material and now I've got 18. So let's get Netflix on the phone.
The comedy lineup part two. It's an exciting time to be a fan of comedy and to see short bursts of it. Who else is in this? Do we want to give them any praise? You're the one who showed up. We don't have to talk about anyone else if you don't
want
to.
Yeah, I mean, they're welcome to come here into the studio and
exactly.
say their own name.
If they're brave enough.
No, there's a lot of very funny people on it.
It's a bunch of cowards and yourself.
Exactly. I'm the only one that's willing to stand up and say, hey, I've got a special. These people are hiding.
What are they hiding? What are these people hiding?
This is a question you're asking it, not me, Scott. And I think it's quick. It's 15 minutes. I encourage people to watch it while they're driving. You can hook your phone up to your car's.
Good.
I mean, yeah, glance at me. I'm doing some act outs, but ultimately it's an audio medium. So.
Yeah, exactly. And how does one end a 15-minute special? Like, this is what I was wondering on the way here. Are you triumphant at the end of it? You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
When you watch John Mulaney's special after an hour, it's like,
oh my God.
Wow, we went through something.
Yes.
I did. I entertained you for a long period of time.
Yeah.
But how does each comedian kind of end this of just like, okay, thanks. Goodbye. You know what I mean?
It's this
like,
was a reasonable amount of comedy yeah, that like, would, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Well, there's like there's a timer on the screen for each special. It starts at 15 minutes and it cuts out hard.
No matter what, you may be in the middle of something.
Yeah, your sphincter clenches 15 right. times over the course of the special, and then you're done. You're fully empty. No, yeah, I mean, you end on a joke, but it doesn't feel like you have to be like, and that's why I think divorce should be illegal or whatever.
Right.
You don't have to have
But
a
do
big...
people applaud and then credits start going? What, you know what I mean? It almost seems like it should just cut to black like The Sopranos or something. You know what I mean? It just,
yeah.
It doesn't seem like the end of anything.
I know, it's like, and also like these were taped. It's not like people bought tickets and then sat down for 20
for
minutes.
For a 15-minute show, and then like, oh, wow, why did we hire a babysitter?
This
is crazy.
We could have just left our kid in the car.
You taped them all in succession with the other comedians.
We did a couple
certainly.
Nights. So, like, yeah. You know, a show would be like 6 or 7 comics. They would do a bit of a reset and could try to get the audience to be like, make it seem like you've just seen something
right.
worthy of your time. But the hope is that they just... People just keep watching.
Just
you
keep
know, Netflix.
Watching. Yeah, exactly. I think it would have been cool of you to wear a different shirt in both on both nights, and then they keep cutting back and forth, and people
right.
are like, why is his shirt changing?
I wear colored
jokes?
Contacts for one of the shows,
wow.
and I don't think the editors picked it up, but it's a little bit of an Easter egg for the super fans to see how it's cut together.
All right, well, the comedy lineup part two, I'm looking forward to this. I definitely want to hear... Jesus Christ, did you hear...
Sorry, man.
What was that? Max, was that you?
I mean, no.
Is that you doing that?
It is not.
Is that a police Bobby?
I know what a whistle sounds like, even European whistles, and I'm positive that...
Throw my baseball back! Sorry!
What? Excuse me, sir? Someone broke the window in the studio, I think. Is there glass?
There's glass on my jewelry.
Oh, no. You don't want anyone to confuse your jewelry for glass.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that would be horrible.
This is a conflict diamond. Glass.
Excuse me, sir.
Throw my baseball bat to Louisville.
You threw your baseball bat into the studio?
No, it's a baseball, not a bat.
You threw a baseball?
Louisville baseball, very rare.
You threw.
They make bats.
Oh, that's the famous Louisville Sluggie, which is the ball that's hit by a slugger. Yeah, yeah.
Throw back my Sluggie!
You want your Sluggie, sir? Why are you throwing your Sluggie into the windows?
I was practicing catching baseball off the side of your building.
You were practicing catching a baseball off the side of my building? Why do you have to practice that? Just do it. Just throw a baseball onto the side of the building.
Oh.
Asshole? Did you just say, hey, asshole?
Yeah, don't get smart with me. Check it out. Earwolf.
Yes, yes, you're an earwolf.
Earwolf!
Yeah, it's a busy...
Paul Scheer!
Yeah, okay, so...
You know Paul Scheer?
I know of Paul Scheer, yeah.
Cool.
Do you want your sluggy back?
Yeah, can you get Paul to sign it?
Paul's not around right now. Do you know Max Silvestri?
How you doing?
Is he doing those 8-minute specials?
No, twice as long on Netflix.
Nope, don't know him.
Oh, okay, but you do know someone who has an 8-minute special on Hulu?
Yeah.
Okay, here. Wait, do you see a sluggy down on the ground somewhere?
Were you trying to bounce it off the glass?
What?
Did that work for a while where you were...
I can't hear you. What?
Come inside.
You're very far.
You're too... Come inside, please.
I'm a little bit closer, but I'm not good close up.
What is that? You're not good close up? What does that mean?
I'm not good close... Well, I don't need to be to brag, but I'm a faraway actor.
You're an actor?
I am! I'm a faraway actor!
A faraway actor? Max, have you heard about
I feel like there's actors are usually mic'd. I don't know, so it feels like...
Yeah, with some sort of lavalier. Some sort of lavalier. Do you have a lavalier on, sir?
Don't need it. I project. I'm a faraway actor!
You're a far...
I'm not a lead. You'll never see me as a lead in a movie.
But you say a line, but they don't then cut in closer to you.
Yeah, yeah, it's mostly big scenes. I've said, here comes the monster!
Here comes the monster. What line is that from? That's not ringing a bell.
I've done that in a million movies. I've been in the whole, every Transformer movie. Oh, look at that thing! Change and transform!
Wow, you almost have the titular line.
Yeah.
That's a big moment. That's like a trailer line.
Yeah. 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 These things are really Transformers.
Like last summer.
What is your name, sir?
Daniel Faraway.
Daniel Faraway.
Yeah.
I believe I've heard of Daniel Faraday, but Daniel Faraway?
Don't bring up that name.
Why?
I don't want to get into this. That's my lineage. We tried to change our name at Ellis Island.
Oh, okay.
To get away from our time traveling past. I just don't want to get into that.
Your time traveling past.
Now, so, was it like someone at Ellis Island changed the name, like mishearing? Like they were like, are you saying Faraday? And you're like, no, Faraway? Or your family made the choice?
We made the choice to escape the time traveling legacy.
Right. Yeah.
There was a lot of bigotry against time travelers.
There was. Because it's like you never know if the money they're using is.
Some of the timelines.
Yeah. They were taking all our jobs from before, taking all our own jobs by going back right. and getting hired.
I must not have a job because he took it in the past.
Ha, ha, ha. All funny till you fuck your own mom.
Hey, how many times have you fucked your own mom?
Took me 20 times before she told me.
Oh, no. What is your mom's name?
Diana Faraday.
Okay, so, but you knew that and then you still had sex with your mother?
So she went back in time to have sex with you when you're younger?
Far away. You guys not getting this?
I'm sort of getting it.
Give me my baseball bag.
Here, if you can find your sluggy, then go ahead and pick it up and get out of here.
I'm not really comfortable.
Comfortable around mics. It's just not easy. I can barely.
You can barely talk because a mic is next to your face.
It's hard for me to talk when I'm close.
Look, if you need to back off the mic, I would rather have you do that than do whatever that was.
What is the audition process like when you... Because it feels like you're not good close.
Are you offer only or are you audition?
I'll be honest. Please. Austin will start out as a background actor.
Right. Okay.
I'll
a background.
Start the day as a background.
That's
extra.
What I first thought you were saying is a faraway actor, meaning a background extra, meaning you don't have lines and you just kind of walk through.
I'll start the day with no lines.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Right.
But then I'll find a way in the middle of the movie to go say something. Maybe the director likes it and keeps it in. You know?
Right. That's happened to me a few times on. It happened to me on the Bang Bang television show. You get background background workers. What do you call them? Background
players. I don't know. The background players is
background
my theater
players.
Company.
Yes, yeah. Of course. That was originally what the SNL cast was called, right?
But you know, you just interject them. You're like, hey, get out of here, Christopher Robin.
And we would have that several times where we would say, oh, okay, it's fine that they're saying whatever they're saying because we're not using their audio or whatever. And then they come up to you afterwards and they go, hey, I'm going to get paid for my line, right, that I said.
And I've heard that most Hollywood stars, and a lot of them don't like to talk about this, the way they got started was they were assertive background
just
players,
interjecting in
saying
scenes.
The right thing at the right time, riffing right. on the main actor's last line in the scene.
I believe it happened to us once where we said, all right, we'll keep it. Where it was we hired our Jack Nicholson impersonator who we'd had a few times, and he just kept mumbling, this is as good as it gets, over and over. And we were like, yeah, all right.
Marlon Brando, his first movie, he was a mile away from the set.
As the crow flies?
No one even saw him.
Yeah, what kind of lens would you even...
Yeah.
He wasn't picked up on the lens, but that's how far away he started.
Wow, that's amazing. And what did
Worked
he...
Worked his way up!
What did
Worked
he...
Worked his way up!
Yeah. What it,
on that, so each scene he was a little closer, or the next movie he was three quarters
movie,
of a mile
no,
away?
You got to work your way up.
Right.
Next movie he's like half a mile away. But I haven't been able to work my way past 100 yards, you know.
100 and, yards and, is where and, you're
100
at.
100 yards, I'm just not a good actor.
I can't deliver any lines realistically.
I don't know what is more annoying, listening to him far away or close.
I have a guess.
I think it's close. Marlon Brando eventually got right up in those mics and he said famous lines like, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah.
And what are his other lines? Yeah, could have been a contender. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Could you say that?
I can do that from far away. I could have been a contender. But what watch as I get closer. Ooh. Could have been a contender.
Oh, still okay.
I could have been a contender.
Not bad.
I closed the
okay, that's, yeah. The, that's right. The line. Yeah, about a 12 inches from the mic is where you start to.
Could have been a contender.
Okay, back up, sir. Okay, much better. Okay.
It's interesting that you've chosen film and not like TV, just because I think of film as such
stage.
Like a,
stage.
Yeah, film is a close-up medium. It's about close-ups.
People tend to whisper.
Wow, you don't know much about film and TV, I guess. Films are the places you have big scenes outside where I can be far away.
Well, if films...
I'm not going to do that on a multi-camp sitcom.
Films these days, I do have to say, with these pop... I don't know if you've heard of these popcorn films.
Oh my God, yeah. These
Like you were talking about Transformers. It's like, you know, a robot battling a superhero these days.
Oh my
and
God.
It's like, you know, I...
Hey,
so,
watch out! Don't fall into the Deadpool!
Did you try that one on Deadpool?
Yeah, I didn't know the script very well.
Yeah, no, it got cut.
Yeah, that one got cut.
Yeah,
what is this? The Dark of the Moon? That was one of my favorites.
The Dark of the Moon.
I believe that was the third Transformers film, was The Dark of the Moon.
Was
it's like
it really?
A poem. Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, they found more Transformers on the dark side of the moon.
Why would you come and lie on this show like that? It can't be called Transformers Dark of the Moon, can it?
I'm like 93% sure.
Okay, yeah, we'll never find out. I mean, it must be very difficult for you to only be able to shout.
You know, that's my life. Even when I'm not acting, like I'm...
In your personal life as well?
Yeah, I'm like the guy on the bus. From the back of the bus, I got something to say, you know.
Right. What kind of situations
kind of,
would...
I'm kind of the Rosa Parks of faraway acting.
Yeah. Being in the back of the bus, you mean?
Well, what? She never made it to the
yeah, bus. She. I think she was famously someone in the front of the bus that had something to say.
She did.
Well, actually, she was in the middle of the bus.
So you, in your personal life, are you in a relationship of some sort?
Long distance relationship.
Okay, I get it.
What do you mean you get it?
So someone in Canada or something?
Oh, she's within shouting distance.
Oh, wait. So she, do you own
a... We have rooftop sex.
Yeah, I feel like you, like, if you lived in a tenement building, like, with a laundry wire next to another tenement building,
or this is like one of those
sort of relationship.
One of those films where, like, a teenager is in love with the girl next door and they have those conversations out the windows.
Yeah, we're on the roof. We just do sex talk.
Sex talk?
My dick is hard! It's getting harder!
What do your neighbors think of this?
Oh, I'm getting so wet for you!
What I mean, I hope you live in just like an abandoned dirt lot or something like that, because your neighbors must
That's
be so
upset. What you hope for me? What an asshole!
I mean, I guess
that's what I hope for you.
I guess I should be. I guess I should be on your side and not these random people that I don't even know. But you
such
did.
Such a neighborhead, Scott. You're just so worried about these people need to sleep. I assume they work hard.
I know.
I live amongst the one percenters.
So you're on a roof in, like, Brentwood screaming that your dick's hard, too.
Yeah, where do you live? Are you in town somewhere?
I'm one of those downtown L.A. Penthouses.
Penthouses? What do you do for... I mean, I know...
I told him
But you can't
after.
Be... You can't.
I've been in every movie this summer.
But you can't... Can you really afford a penthouse on doing one line in movies?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know what the residuals are like when it comes to Transformers saying one line. I know they decrease, don't they?
I mean, these are blockbusters. The thing, every kind of movie that has like a big crowd in it, with where you can be far away, that's a big budget.
But
movie.
I feel like the blockbusters cost a lot of money, not because they're paying the.
Yeah, they're not paying the extras millions of dollars. They're paying for special effects. Yeah,
they're building whole cities and knocking them down.
Other things that cost money. They maybe have a lot of background actors, sure, but they're paying them the minimum.
No offense, you're where they save money. You're where, I mean, yeah.
Well, Daniel, do you need to pick up your sluggy and leave, or can you stick around because we need to take
a
break here?
I can hang out outside the window.
Because you've been straddling the shards of glass.
I know. My dick is – my balls are bleeding.
Yeah. I think that's a major vein, and a lot of blood's coming out.
That's the main vein, as they say. Look, all right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have someone from the world of politics. Are you interested in politics, Daniel?
It's hard to vote.
It's hard to vote when you have to
vote for far away.
Is that allowed at the polling places to shout your vote to someone?
I've tried. I've stood outside this polling place and yell my vote inside.
And people arrest you for trying to intimidate voters?
Yeah, I'm like, just pull the lever! I don't have to come inside!
Deadpool the lever?
Pull the lever!
Okay. All right, look, we need to take a break.
Deadpool to the lever!
When we come back, we'll have more Daniel Faraway, more Max Silvestri. We'll be right back in a moment. Decisions. Do I choose this? Do I choose that? Which is it? Which is it? Is it this? Do I do this thing? Do I do this other thing? What do I do? Is that you, dummy? Yeah, it sounds like you. Well, what you might need is a quality night's sleep, because a quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster. It helps prevent burnout. It helps you make better decisions and improve your memory and overall make fewer mistakes. It's not marketing. It's, as Thomas Dolby once shouted, science! To design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30-plus years of experience and hundreds of hours of testing to develop the perfect mattress for all body shapes and sleeping styles. Lisa's mission, and it's a good one. Man, as missions go, I can think of Mission to Mars. Pretty good. But this one is even better, I think. What their mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody. Oh, if only everyone could sleep. I think that people should sleep 18 to 20 hours a day. I really do. And I think the world would be a better place. We wouldn't have time for all this arguing and war. We would get up. We'd have only 4 hours a day to do things. We'd have to pack it in quickly and then nighty night. What a great world that would be. Through their 110 program, Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell, and that's more than 26,000 mattresses and counting, which tells me they have sold 260,000 mattresses. Lisa strives to leave the world better than they found it, but that doesn't stop with mattress donations. No. Together with the Arbor Day Foundation, Lisa plants one tree for every mattress they sell, and they are committed to planting 1 million trees by 2025. We're just 7 short years away from an earth with 1 million trees on it. Boy, that's going to be amazing. I have a Lisa mattress. It is comfy AF. Here's how I know it's comfy. I lie down on it, I go to sleep, and I wake up in the morning. That's quality. For my money, you can't get better than that, going to sleep on something. It's not like, if I had to go to sleep on the ground and I was like, I can't get to sleep. Lisa mattress, I get to sleep on it. Honk shoo, I wake up. It's right there. It's in the ballpark for me. And, if you're playing baseball, that's where you want to be. Don't miss these summer savings. Get $160 off a Lisa mattress at lisa.com/bangbang. That is LEESA.com/bangbang for $160 off. Lisa, a better place to sleep. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back here. Max Silvestri, the comedy lineup, part two. And what an honor to be in part two and not part one.
I know. It's like you're ripping the Band-Aid off with part one. People are like, what am I watching? And now part two, they're like, I know what I'm watching.
Do you think it's like, should we watch it saying, oh, these people are not as good as part one? Or is it like these guys now, since part one, have gotten as good as the people in part one?
You know, Scott, that's a great question.
It's, why is your voice getting so high right now?
It's just, that's, you know, when they didn't tell us what part we'd be in, and when we found out which part we'd be in, that's the kind of question where I'm like, is this a good thing? Are they putting all the good stuff in the first part, and then this is the detritus?
A lot of people would say The Empire Strikes Back is better than Star Wars, or Godfather Part II is better than Godfather Part I. So, you know, I think those people, Robert De Niro, he's probably pretty happy he was in Godfather Part II, if I had to guess.
I would agree.
You know what I mean? I mean, agree. I think he goes home at night pretty satisfied. Am I right?
I think he's pretty happy. I think he's pretty happy with whatever.
He gets a little hot under the collar around the Tony's time, you know?
Yeah. He's like, are they going to have fun at my expense? I feel like he's more sensitive.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so, too. He's a sensitive guy.
Yeah, people make jokes. I think that... Well, because there's only two parts, and I think I'm maybe the last.
There will not be a part three.
Not if I have anything to do with it. Yeah. I'm breaking down the whole mythology. Because that's the other thing is each set reveals a little bit of plot about the comedy
lineup. Oh, really? So it's like a puzzle.
Mine won't make any sense unless
you can watch them out of order. But if you watch them in order, it reveals a larger plot.
Well, you can watch them out of order, but they won't be funny until you've seen all of them. Like, so you're getting a little slice of one joke.
One laugh at the very end of all of them if you've watched them out of order. And you'll go, ha-ha!
I see what they did there.
Right.
You know, the most satisfying kind
but
of
if
laugh.
You want to watch them in order, lots of laughs throughout. Little laughs.
Ooh. I mean, I don't think so. I still think it's still at
the
end.
Still, it's just one?
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'm like second to last, so definitely no laughs during or at the end of mine.
Okay.
I'm trying to work my way into some stand-up specials.
Really? Wait, you want to do stand-up?
I've tried it.
Do you want to actually perform stand-up, or you want to be someone who interjects someone else doing stand-up?
I just want to help the stand-up out, like go, wait for it.
This is Daniel Faraway, by the way, who does Faraway acting. Has that ever happened in a stand-up special where someone actually gets heckled and they keep it in? I'm trying to think. I
not a heckle. That was supportive.
Well, a lot of hecklers think they're being supportive, by the way.
So wait, but it's kind of condescending to the comic to, like, because I'm imagining a situation where the audience is like, what's going on here? This comic's not good. And you come in and say, wait for it to the audience? To just be like,
the
don't worry.
Or here we go, or that's helpful.
That is a little helpful.
Stand-up is one of the only performative mediums in which people seem to think shouting at it helps.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess rock concerts. I mean, they think shouting at rock concerts is like, yeah! I mean, is that weird that we watch rock concerts and everyone just thinks it's polite to be like, yeah! At the performers?
You know, this just made me just realize that even though I obviously hate hecklers as a stand-up, I am the guy at rock shows that likes to find a well-timed, silent, yeah! Like, break through the noise. So, like, when the band's prepping and the audience has gotten quiet where people are like, he really has a good sense of timing of when to steal focus.
Just in case they're recording it live and it ends up on an album, I want to hear my yeah.
Yeah.
I also want them to hear it to know that there won't be any awkward silences during this Smashing Pumpkins show.
Never. I'm an only child. I'm always pulling focus.
I like a stand-up and I like one of his bits, I like to chant along the bit as the stand-up says it.
Okay, so like what is an example of a stand-up bit that you know and like to chant along? Please, since you brought it up.
I love going through famous
my
bits.
Oh,
Harold. Oh no. Okay. Oh. Let's not do
you
Bill Cosby bits. No. Let's move on from that. We need to get to our next guest. Those are the only. Is he the only stand-up you like? Bill Cosby?
He's the only one I can get into concerts these days.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can imagine like that actually would be a respite for him. Whatever his act
is
now.
It is hard to read newspapers from far away, but if you were to get close, he's popped up quite a bit.
I do think in Bill Cosby shows now, I mean, he hasn't been doing them lately, but the ones that he did in the last year, there were people standing up a lot and shouting at him, but not supportively, usually.
It's like half town hall, half people being like, I'm so glad he's on the road again. Like, there is a weird tension. I'm like, come on, we're just here to laugh.
All right, well, speaking of here to laugh, we're not going to be laughing during our next guest, I believe, because this is very serious business. He is from the world of politics, and he has a very unusual name. Let me see if I can pronounce it correctly. It's Roman D'Ogrotz.
It's Roman D'Ogrotz.
Roman, please get near them.
I'm standing in the doorway, but I've noticed that there's an open window that a man is straddling. Do you want me to climb over the man?
I would. You can go right through the door.
I can go through the door.
Well, I mean, not like a ghost. I mean, you would have to open it and then...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Please don't track the blood in here. There's a lot of blood.
I tried to stay away from the blood.
Yeah, a lot of testicle blood, if you could.
I'm happy that you told me I could use the door because it seemed pretty dicey for me to try to go through the window.
Yeah, those jagged shards are pointing upwards like a stalactite? Oh, I know there's a way to remember that.
M down, T up.
Inum down, T up?
M, might is the bottom one.
Well, I remember it from when I was young. It was like, it might crash on my head. Is that what it is? No, it might. I might fall on it like a vampire. What is it?
It might stay on the surface of the cave forever.
Too late. It's above you.
Stalagmite, you be wrong, and I'm right.
Stalag right. Okay.
If it's tight, let it mellow.
Right. Well, speaking of mellow, welcome to the show, Roman Deogroats. Is that how?
Deogroats.
Yes. Deogroats.
D'O'GROTS. Yeah, Deogroats.
Okay, so just two apostrophes, almost like they've-n't. Is that a contraction? They haven't?
They've-n't.
They've-n't
been yet.
They've-n't? They have not?
Yes.
They have not responded
to
the invitation. They've-n't.
They've-n't yet.
That, honestly, it's not in use a lot, but I want to start it because it's not bad.
You know, the English language, it's a living document. It's constantly evolving. You know, things that weren't normal 10 years
ago. A lot like
our
Constitution.
Yeah, Snapchat. That's new.
Sure, exactly. Welcome to the show, Roman.
Yes, I'm so happy that you're able to have me here. There's an important, as I'm sure you know, very important midterm elections coming up in November.
Yes, they are. By the way, this is Max.
Oh, Max.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
And over here, straddling the window is Daniel Faraway.
And he is a part of the show.
Not really, but sort of he has become one.
Yeah, I got a line in. I guess I'm getting paid.
Yeah, as much
and
as,
we're all getting paid, right?
Yes, of course, yes. I do that under the table as to not attract a lot of notice for doing a wonderful thing. Roman, yes, midterm elections are coming up. I'm Scott, by the way. Hello.
Scott, hello.
I think we have all the introductions now, right?
Scott.
You've met Max.
Max.
You've met Daniel.
Daniel.
You've met me. I've met Max. I've met Daniel. Daniel, you've met Max.
What?
You've met Max.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's looking pretty gray. He's lost a lot of blood. Yeah, there's like a clamminess to his skin right now.
Yeah, my God. Are you all right? You okay?
Yeah. I'm feeling a little close.
Okay, back up then.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just not over that jagged ah!
Oh,
God, the other testicle.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
At least he had the one before. That was our hope for him.
Roman, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So midterm elections are coming up, and
yes.
You're running.
I'm running for the House of Representatives in the 10th Congressional District of Virginia.
Virginia, oh,
and
okay.
I am running on
That's a commonwealth, is it not?
It is.
Yeah, great.
One of the, I think
not
one
a state.
Of the top commonwealths in the whole country.
Yeah, I would agree.
I would put it right under Pennsylvania.
Right. Okay, really, and even though you are living there and
I'm
and
an
running,
honest man.
Wow. Well, that's honest right there. So you prefer Pennsylvania. Why don't you move there?
I think it's a better commonwealth, but I think sometimes if you live in a commonwealth that's not the best of the best, it gives you a little
incentive to make it better.
Exactly.
So there's kind of
an
underdog energy to you
exactly.
And your fellow Virginians where you know you're not as good.
Every Virginian has the fire in his or her belly. They motivates us every day to maybe move to glorious Pennsylvania.
Well,
maybe
each
move.
Year those not make it not make it be, not make Virginia better.
No, nope.
But maybe move.
Well, U.S. News and World Report only does its Commonwealth rankings every 20 years, so your
yes.
hands are tied if you're
sure.
hoping Virginia is going to overtake Philadelphia.
Listen, if Virginia was great, I wouldn't be running because we need to solve a problem in Virginia and then solve this problem in the rest of the country.
What do you like about Pennsylvania? I've never been there.
It's the best place to be a Catholic priest and fuck kids.
Okay, all right. Daniel.
Proven.
Daniel, I don't know that that's an interjection. Proven. We're not going to keep that one. I'm sorry. You're not going to get paid for that one.
Well, I can explain if I can get into my platform. I'm a single platform candidate.
You are. Oh, wait, you're single and you're a platform candidate? Or?
I'm running on a single voter issue.
But are you married?
Is that you're single?
I
that you have
am,
no wife?
I am currently married.
What does that mean, currently?
We didn't do first and last at the wedding with my wife and I, so
right. That's
every day it is very intense.
A lot of drama.
I don't know when it's going to be over. Exactly.
Right, okay.
Will we or won't we, that classic.
Oh, yeah. My God, it's like a moonlighting episode with you every single day. All right, so what is your platform, if I may? Is that rude to ask?
No, please. I am desperate.
I never
to get
know
the word out
whether
of
you can ask a politician like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Some of them like to be secretive about it and make it a surprise for people that don't like to have movies spoiled or they like
sure.
to have, you know, blind box
okay.
items.
Okay. Should we give a spoiler alert here right
this
now?
This is a huge spoiler alert if you're not familiar with my campaign.
Okay. So if people like to vote for someone without knowing what their platform is or what they're all about, spoiler alert, you're going to want
yes.
to not listen to this part
like
of the
me,
show.
Like me, when I go into the ballot box, I'm just looking – I've never heard or seen any of these names before. Like, whose has the most apostrophes? Like, that's maybe how
sure,
I'm going to decide.
Could be, that could be why you want to do it.
Because I'm a single issue voter, and my issue is who has the most apostrophes.
And, I would prefer
there
not to
be. I hope
that
there are a lot of people like you in Virginia in the 10th district.
Wait, so you're not running against someone who has three apostrophes?
I am running against two zero apostrophes or null apostrophe opponents.
Okay,
right now.
So no
the incumbent Barbara Comstock and then Jen Wicks, and both no apostrophes.
No apostrophes, nor and not even their middle names either.
You know, I don't know their middle names. I hope so, because it's very exhausting to get through those names without getting to take a little break.
Right. Okay, so tell us, or I shouldn't order you to do this. Let me ask you, what is your platform?
Scott, are you familiar with clawfoot bathtubs?
Those are the kind where now bathtubs in general, sometimes they don't have feet. They're almost like amputees in a way. Like
yes.
Most bathtubs are amputees.
Yes.
But these are the bathtubs with not only feet, not only like peg legs. Some bathtubs have peg legs, but they have little things that rest upon the ground that look like feet, and they're called claw foot bathtubs.
And they have little nails on the end.
Yes, you trim them occasionally.
Yes.
You
is that true?
Are, congratulations, you know what claw foot bathtubs are.
Thank you very much.
It goes back to the times when bathtubs were made out of animals.
They were made out of, like, animal carcasses?
Yeah, like cows and moose.
They would just, like,
elks.
Scoop out the guts almost as if they're a taxidermy?
Yeah, after you'd eat the meat, you'd go, after a big meal eating meat, you'd get into the carcass and just wash off all the blood.
So it's just sort of a bloody bag?
Yeah, wash off the blood on yourself after eating meat or wash off the blood that's in the carcass?
Golly, guys, you clean out the carcass before you make it into a bathtub.
Okay, so but you have blood all over yourself when you're eating?
Back in those days, yeah.
Oh, okay, back in those days. I don't know a lot about those days, Daniel, so.
You were almost constantly covered in blood and dirt and human
feces?
Excrement in
yeah,
that time.
Yeah, human excrement. What about the animal excrement? That you would stay away from that?
Both types, I would think you'd be covered.
Oh, okay.
I didn't
great.
Specify.
Right.
My issue is I want to put shoes on all clawfoot bathtubs.
You want to put shoes on?
And that's, in my opinion, the most important issue facing our country right now and in November of 2018.
So now and in November.
Now, I don't see it changing. I see it staying steady. And then, you know, when I do see it stop being an issue, about a year or two into my term, when okay. I'm able to get shoes on every clawfoot bathtub.
Shoes. Now,
what about sandals?
I am open to that. And
so
I
are
will,
some of those.
I will have to do into my research. I will have to research into that. But
see, I'm very anti-sandals. On my whole thing with, because I agree, I'm really glad a politician is finally talking about this. I do believe it's a state issue. So.
Yeah, states' rights. But why – I guess I'm not quite understanding why anyone would want to have a shoe on a piece of furniture.
Scott, would you say that there's a lack of civility in this country right now?
Yeah, when you put it like that, I guess I'd have to agree. I mean, of course. Yeah, I mean, people
– I lost my baseball and these assholes took like 10 minutes to get it back.
You keep calling us assholes. You're the one who has the lack of civility.
It was an accident and you – fucking mean to me.
The sluggy is covered in glass. I'm not picking it up. And if you can't get off that
yes.
shard of glass and come get it yourself, I'm not going to cut my hand for you.
Exactly.
All of this sort of acrimony and discord between people is all coming from the discomfort that we feel. Would you feel uncomfortable if you woke up this morning and there was a man you didn't know in bare feet in your bathtub?
These questions you ask me are... the first one was pretty relatable, but it almost
just answer the question.
It almost
you
seems
enter
like
your bathroom.
You're pulling some sort of like psychic.
There's a man
you know,
that you don't know,
mentalist
in there.
And he's barefoot.
Me.
So I'm
and he's barefoot.
Okay. So
is he clothed otherwise?
Yeah, that's a good question.
He's got on slacks, a button-down shirt, and glasses.
Are they
well, he's dressed like me? I realize I just described me.
Are they skinny?
Well, you have shoes on.
Yeah. Are they like?
And that's the difference.
Are they like skinny jeans, or are they like a khaki that's kind of loose fitting? Or
it's a loose fitting khaki. Yeah, that has
sort
a little
sort of like a Friday pants, kind of your golf course sort of breathable.
Right. A polo? Did you say or a button down?
A button down.
A button.
Now, are you saying button down in the sense of that the collar buttons to the shirt? Because button up is usually people use button down incorrectly. You know.
Oh, I
a
see.
Button down is when your collar is buttoned to your shirt. shirt and a button up is
when a shirt has buttons
exactly
from
yes.
from the neck to the tip
exactly.
of the penis.
Yes, button down is an old.
That's what I mean. From neck to penis.
From neck to penis neck.
Yeah. Yes,
the button up story. So would I be upset? Yeah, I would be
upset.
If
he has no shoes, this is a maniac. But if he has shoes, perhaps he's a cable.
I must say I would be upset either way.
Mm-hmm.
But
if I had asked for cable to be installed in my bathroom months before and then it had gone out of my mind, I'd put the ticket in with Spectrum and then, oh, they're here. They're putting
cable in. So you're a Spectrum guy. That's very interesting. So, but had I remembered that someone was going to be in my bathroom and they had shoes or not shoes, I don't know if it would make a difference to me.
Let me ask. Let's sort of take this in a different direction. So I feel like you don't agree with my policy right now. Would it surprise you to know that of not even just the other people running in the 10th District of Virginia, but for every person running in the midterm elections, no one has publicly declared whether they are for or against shoes on clawfoot bathtub feet?
I guess I would wonder how it would come up a lot of times because as far as I know – And I don't know, you know, the entire course of human history, certainly. Mm-hmm. I've never said that I do. But as far as I know, this is the only time that this has ever come up in my mind of any human being talking about
and
this.
And it's about time we do something about it.
I would even argue that we probably have less clawfoot bathtubs now than at any time in the last
any time 400, in human history.
500 years of history. There were more.
I would say until when the bathtub was invented to now. Before the bathtub was invented, I think we had way less.
Yeah. But. Yeah, definitely. But then I feel like now we have tubs. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of
people. It seems, and I agree with you. And that's why I believe this is an achievable goal that will make our country better.
A lot of people taking showers. Where do you land on showers?
Showers.
Max, a lot of people taking showers. You right? Daniel? Where do you stand on showers?
Underneath them.
Now, you're French.
That's a solid joke, Scott.
Why are you dancing?
He's pretty happy with his. It might be the blood loss. I think he's seeing a faraway light.
That was a solid joke,
okay,
Scott.
it was solid.
That. Where I, are you standing on showers?
I'll definitely put it in.
Now, so, de a groats is French or is Irish?
It's Irish-Italian.
Irish.
Which yes. part is Irish and which is Italian? Out of the
D apostrophe is Italian and the groats is Italian. Is Irish.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So
my ancestors left Italy. They drove across France. They got into a boat. Then they went to Ireland. Then they came.
Your
to
Your ancestors
United
drove across France.
Wow.
Wow.
How long did that take? Did they say or?
I'd have to ask Grandma.
And by the way, automobiles were invented. So yeah, these are recent ancestors.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Won't putting shoes on these bathtubs just lead to us needing to have pants on them as well?
That's a great question.
We'll just like look like a nude fat white
man. Yeah, I would say if someone were in my bathroom and they had clothes on other than the shoes, I would prefer that to someone wearing shoes and no clothes.
It's a Daffy Duck dilemma where a naked cartoon duck raises no eyebrows, but one with only a shirt suddenly brings into makes you ask where are the bottoms.
Exactly.
I don't want to try and have to interpret a bathtub's entire personality in order to clothe them in full clothing. I am just trying to, you know, create a sense of decency.
But that's
the same issue that I have with, you know, closets or cabinets that have doors with two doorknobs.
Wait, you have an issue with that?
Double-doored closets or cabinets.
With two doorknobs.
Yes.
You think they should have gloves on?
I think they should have a brassiere.
So,
that to me seems indecent. It looks like
two circular things right next to each other.
Two knobs on a closet or a cabinet. And that's not one of my issues, but if someone else in
that's
the
just
house
a personal
said, hey,
thing.
Would you, you know, join with me in this coalition, I'd be willing to do
Roman
that.
Those look more like balls to me. I mean, those would be two nipples close together.
Yeah, I mean, especially if they're a little those locks on the doorknobs, you know, the ones that stick out like nipples.
Yes.
Yeah. Those would look like nipples to me, but they're usually at a height. They're at doorknob height, if I may call that a height, which seems to be about waist height on a human being.
Look at my balls right now on the glass.
Oh, God.
It's hard not. I mean, I don't think your balls are the best example right now because your testicles are very mangled.
Balls out.
Your sluggies are swollen.
Yeah.
And hard to look at.
So are you gaining any kind of attraction? I mean traction.
He's a single guy. It's not bad if he...
We have a strong grassroots campaign, and I am...
How many supporters do you have? I mean, you must have gotten signatures on a petition in order to get on the ballot.
We have people in the tens of 12s right now that are willing to help me.
Tens of 12s.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that means 120 or just you have 10, between 10 and 12.
Right now.
That's like an English as a second language way of talking about numbers. Right. Tens of 12s, yeah.
Tens of 12s. I have 36 supporters.
You should get Tom's on board.
Tom's the shoemaker, sir?
Yeah.
The one that they're slippers?
So every time you put a pair of shoes on a bathtub, you put shoes on a bathtub in a third world country for free. Right.
Yes.
Now I don't say this, Roman. There are people who say that if you put shoes on a tub, you immediately start asking the question, is the drain of the tub its asshole and is the faucet its penis?
Exactly.
And that doesn't feel like it increases civility to me. That suddenly starts me looking at my tub and me getting all like worked up.
And those knobs, if you truly do have a classic bathtub knobs next to the faucet, those look like testicles, certainly, and not
there's no question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is – once you solve one issue for society, then you will have
to move on to other ones. Issues. So where does it end to me? And also, if we start putting clothes upon bathtubs – what gender are the bath? You know, are we just presuming? Oh, this is. Do we put them all in pants, as those are sort of gender neutral, or do we start putting
the toilet? Well, they're totally nude.
Yeah, great point.
The toilet. My main issue with the toilet right now is if a toilet seat is open.
Right.
I have the same issue that I actually have with windows on houses, which is kind of like my one. Listen, I'm a single platform. Candidate.
Sure.
So I'm only focused on shoes on clawfoot.
These are just personal issues for you.
If, God willing, I'm able to solve that problem, then I will move on to open toilets, windows on houses.
What's the issue?
You know what windows on houses look like, right?
You don't have to ask me these.
It looks like the house is yawning. But it's very rude for the house to not be covering its mouth with its hand. So that's why I propose that we take doors. We put gloves on the doors. Then we put
How do you put gloves on the door? Meaning the entire door?
Large glove, which I think a lot of the glove manufacturers in this country, that's jobs, because they're going to have to make these big door-sized gloves.
I'm going to be honest about something that happened earlier.
Yeah.
I said I was practicing catching baseball earlier. I actually thought the building was yawning at me, and I got mad.
You got mad at the window?
I was walking by, and I said, fuck you. Boring.
This is baseballs through windows have gone up,
but doesn't that dramatically mean jobs for baseball makers in Louisville for these sluggies
for lost sluggies?
Yeah, you know
they
I mean,
want these sluggies to be lost.
Yes.
I mean, that's more business for them.
Yeah. The economy. There's a push and a pull to the economy.
Well, a lot like these doors that now have. I mean, doors are not shaped like with five fingers.
No. But with the glove over the door, it gives the appearance of five fingers. And then you put the door at a 45-degree angle over the window. It looks like the house is politely covering its mouth while it's yawning.
Now, what do you say to critics? And again, this is not me. This is not me saying it. But what do you say to critics who say that you are in the pocket of novelty accessory clothing companies?
I know.
The big companies that make the small shoes, the big gloves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as you know, my wife is the heiress to the tiny shoes for furniture fortune.
You say as
Yam Yam's
we know.
Yam Yam's tiny shoes for furniture.
Yam Yam's?
That's her last name, Yam Yam.
Yam Yam is her last name.
Yes, no apostrophe.
She didn't take your name.
No. Yes. Now she is Veronica Groats, but...
She had beforehand, she had started this business.
Yes.
And she didn't think that people would go along with it if she changed it to Groats?
I think Yam Yams, you hear Yam Yams, you think of furniture for shoes.
So she's trying to distance... You admit she's trying to distance herself from the public perception that she is fully connected with furniture clothing.
Yes.
Well, now you're telling us on it.
Yeah, she makes these.
I like transparency as a politician.
But you don't like them as far as windows go.
No. No. Oh, the opaqueness of a window is fine. as long as it's being covered up by a door with a glove on.
Okay, look, I want to dive a little more specifically into, I don't know how much more specifically we can get, but we need to take a break. Daniel, you're not looking good, my man. Okay, look, we need to take a break. We'll be right back with more Max Silvestri, more Daniel Faraway and Roman Groats. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang. Things that are hard. Terrible, right? Things that, I mean, I was talking about mattresses earlier. You don't want them to be hard unless you need to sleep on a hard mattress. Okay, I'm spinning out. I'm not making sense here. But I will say we don't like things that are difficult. Difficult. We like things a little easier these days. Well, hiring used to be one of those things. Hiring used to be hard. You know, you got stacks and stacks of resumes on. Like, hey, I want to hire someone. Bring me in a couple resumes. And then suddenly, boom, stacks of resumes up to the ceiling. And you're like, do we need a higher ceiling? Like, we already have 16-foot ceiling. Like, this is already a very modern building with very high ceilings. We need to raise the ceilings, you're telling me? You don't have the money for that for your business, to raise the ceilings in every room? You don't have the time for that? That would take years. And you might have to cut into the second floor of or the floors above you. Look, this is just it used to be too difficult, but today hiring can be easy. And you only have to go to one place to get it done. You don't have to go to multiple places. ZipRecruiter.com/CBB. Now, a lot of people go to ZipRecruiter.com, full stop. No. This is a better website, ZipRecruiter.com/CBB. A little more specific. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and it scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience to apply. And as applications they start to come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes every single one and spotlights the top candidates so you will never ever miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within the first day. We're talking less than 24 hours. That's, I think they should be pretty happy with those kind of results. Yeah. I think that you guys, if you're hiring, and I pray that you are, because you're contributing to the economy. I think you're really going to like ZipRecruiter. It's very, very easy, and it is fast. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rating. Highest rating? No. If I were my boss, I would fire me and try to hire someone. With results like that, it is no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. And I said it before, and I know you've probably already turned off this podcast and are just typing away at it, but I'm going to say it again in case you're not. ZipRecruiter.com/CBB. That is ZipRecruiter.com/CBB. ZipRecruiter.com/CBB. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back here. We have Max Silvestri, The Comedy Lineup Part 2, and on Netflix, of course. And we also have politician Roman Groats, who is very upset about certain things in the House and needing clothes. We also have Daniel Faraway, who's very upset at us calling us assholes. And but he looks to be drifting off very close to that eternal slumber that we talk about. Do you need us to call an ambulance or?
Oh, if anyone's gonna call someone, it should be me.
Yeah, I mean you're still conscious.
I've even done that in a movie. Hey, someone call an ambulance.
Yeah.
It's those kind of lines.
So you're used to it. So if you had needed that.
The Cloverfield got him. Call an ambulance.
Right.
Yeah. So you even knew in the movie it was called a Cloverfield.
Yeah. I mean,
I tried to push that. The director kept saying, hey, man, no one calls it the Cloverfield. I'm like, why call it Cloverfield then? And I came back on 10 Cloverfield Lane. He got really mad.
Right.
Hey, 10 Cloverfield Lane's outside the cellar door.
But then by the Cloverfield Project or whatever it was, then everyone's saying Cloverfield in that.
So,
I was outside the spaceship.
You were outside?
Yeah. Didn't make sense. Here comes the Cloverfield paradox.
We were talking to Roman here about clothes on. Do you think everything in the house should have some sort of covering?
No.
You know those how and I heard recently it's a myth that about how table legs used to get people so horny when a glimpse of stocking was you know viewed as shocking that they would put little those felt coverings over table legs in order as to not get men horny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean when I say horny.
Blood going to the penis, making it erect?
Yeah.
And these men had the
like
pants.
This.
No, oh, your blood is coming out of from your penis.
You're scooping blood from your thigh onto your penis.
It's, yeah. It's, please don't do that, sir.
But the glass shards keeping my penis erect.
You know, I think that's an antiquated notion of people getting, you know, finding tables sexually attracted. For me, my biggest issue with tables is which are the arms, which are the legs. And
right, because they're tables are essentially furniture that's on all fours,
yes.
Bending over in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tubs are clearly.
I don't want to be an asshole, but the history of tables is that goes back to when they were animals as well.
Well, really?
I agree with you with that on bathtubs, but tables are definitely humanoid, and there are two legs and two arms. Okay. And we would solve the problem by having one watch on a single table leg.
On the left or the right?
On the left.
On the left, because that's where humans can you
so
wear
you're
a watch
saying
on
tables
either?
Are all right-handed.
If you wear a watch on your right hand, you are a psychopath, and I do not want you to vote for me.
I was at a dinner party recently, and there was.
Can you come a little closer? I just like. No, about 12 inches away.
I was at a dinner party recently, and there was an ankle bracelet on one of the legs, and it was very confusing.
Yeah, an anklet.
Was it like one of those monitoring ones? Like
yeah, like Andy Dick used to wear?
Used to.
Okay.
That was one of those cute little sexy gold ones with the charm on it of a Playboy bunny.
What do you think about back, like lower back tattoos, like tramp stamps on tables? Would that help?
That would be in the center of the table.
No, I guess I mean like on the edge of the table at, you know, wherever the, you know, right above the table's asshole.
I'd be worried about any table that's going to get a lower back tattoo in case it is a Jewish table, wouldn't be able to be buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, you've really thought about all this.
Someone's going to put a turkey on that back tattoo, and you can't tell anything.
I'm saying on the edge, not on the face that is facing the ceiling.
Wait, you put your turkey on the table? I put mine on the edge.
You do? Who are you, Aerosmith? Living on the edge? All right. Look, we have one of our favorite features. We play it every week. We're going to play it right now, and it's a little something called Would You Rather.
Here comes the dragons!
You don't...
Here comes the dragons!
Have you been in period pieces shouting things?
I was in Game of Thrones. Remember that scene where those dragons came down and got everybody last year?
Spoiler alert.
Last year?
I don't know.
Dragons came down and killed everyone?
I'm waiting to watch all TV until I'm sick.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen anything.
You're remarkably healthy, too.
I know.
I haven't
seen anything.
All right, it's time to play Would You Rather. We play this every single week, of course, on the show, so we all know how it's played, right? Or do I need to go over the rules? No? Everyone knows? Okay, great. This comes to us from Jordan Maywood. Oh, he's a Would You Rather superstar. Jordan Maywood asks, would you rather get VIP access to the graduation ceremonies of anyone you want or always carry two briefcases, one of which has your soul? All right, I'm opening the floor for questions. What questions do we have about either of these scenarios? Would you rather get VIP access to the graduation ceremonies of anyone you want or always carry two briefcases, one of which has your soul?
I have a question about the level of
getting
VIP
in early,
access.
Max Silvestri. By the way, you tried, but he overpowered you, so I respect that. Go ahead.
I believe you did hear the sound of my mouth open.
I definitely did, but I don't call upon people. It's just merely mob rules here, or majority rules.
I'm sorry, Roman. Would you like
No. Of course. You don't have to be polite. This is how the game is played. Would you, if you were in the World Series and you scored a game winning grand slam home run, sure. Would you say, "Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. We don't need to count those points."
Okay, I'll start in the VIP section. Let's get some clarity on that.
All right.
Yeah, like, is this just a meet and greet? Is there, like, do you get, like a special lanyard? Can you use a different door? I don't like going in by the main door.
You don't like in the graduation ceremonies that you go to?
Yeah.
Like going in the main door?
I mean, you get to a point in your career where, like, you're like, I'm not going to this graduation ceremony unless there's some sort of special entrance.
Like,
I want to go backstage from the...
Sure, you want to meet the participants beforehand see if they're nervous or not.
Like sushi that no one eats. I, like, want a lot of that around.
Right.
I'm a huge fan. Graduation. That's another big place, big area, a lot of people where you can shout shit from a distance.
I have never seen a movie where anyone has shouted something at a graduation.
He cheated.
Are you kidding me? What? Hooray!
Would That's you say hooray?
Boy. That's my girl.
I can't understand what you're saying. Did you say hooray?
At the
hooray.
End of a graduation ceremony, everyone yells hooray for the graduate.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a movie called Hooray.
The movie Hooray,
That's
on my list for when
from
I'm sick.
The graduate.
I guess maybe Amazing Spider-Man 2. He has his skateboard, and everyone's like, "Woo, you're cool," or whatever.
Cool. But anyway,
but you wouldn't want VIP access,
exactly.
Wouldn't you want to be on the perimeter?
That sounds too up close.
Yeah,
that
right.
Sounds like a nightmare. You need.
Yeah, we're talking front row.
That would be like.
I mean, sometimes VIP access is like maybe like a box higher up.
Sure, like the Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
You know, but that comes with its own challenges. The what seats?
Spit seats. We can spit on people.
You spit on people when you're up in boxes?
Well, what I'll do is I'll make it where you spit. It goes when it's really viscous and you like let it go down. You slurp it back up.
You're spitting right now on your open balls.
Is it turning you on?
No! Neither end of the equation
Sorry,
is.
Sorry, I got into a little room sex routine.
Okay, yeah.
I'm spitting on my dick!
Okay, sir. So does that answer your questions there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Any by the way, Roman, you had a question.
I had a question about the briefcase scenario. Certainly. Are these briefcases, are they nude or...
Nude and they have a leather covering. Do you consider that to be nude, or is leather like skin to you?
Leather of a briefcase is the skin of the briefcase.
Right, yes. But what if someone like you've seen? Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever? You've seen the George Michael video "Faith"? Have
yes,
you not?
Yes, I have.
And he's wearing a leather jacket with what is on the back? Do you remember what's there's a picture on the back and a lot of studs on
it. I think it says "Let's Go Music." If I'm remembering it correct.
Yeah, and I believe you are.
I believe it said, now that's what I call jacket part two.
Would you consider him to be shirtless, stripped to the waist, as they say?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers my question.
How many times have you seen that video?
If I had to guess in reality, probably about a dozen times.
A dozen times? Has Yum Yums or Yum Yum? I'm sorry.
Yum Yums.
Yum Yums. Has Yum Yum seen...
Don't call my wife by her maiden
well,
name.
Well, you never said what her first
Veronica,
name is.
Veronica Yam Yams.
Now, does she call her grandmother Gram Yams or Yam Grams?
She actually calls her grandmother Nonna.
Okay.
And that's N apostrophe O apostrophe
Wait, so she had apostrophes in her name and she married you?
No, in her, that's what she calls her Nonna.
Okay. All right. The briefcases then, I guess, under your definition are nude.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, do I have the option of clothing them?
I guess you do. Yeah, I guess you do. What would you put on it? If you had to really put on clothes on a briefcase. Is that like – that sounds like a writing term. Like, well, not to put clothes on a briefcase on this. But what would you put on there?
Well, if I'm holding them close together, I'd put a pair of boxer shorts because they'd look like two butt cheeks to me.
Okay, but what if they are in
each hand you have, they're just separate from each other. What would you do
if
then?
They're far apart? Then I think they would look like two small brown dogs, in which case I would put a collar on the corner of the briefcase.
So you don't just think dogs collar? Can be naked?
I don't like dogs to be naked. That's very dangerous.
But you consider
for the dogs.
Them to be clothed with
you have
just
to
a collar?
Identify, yes.
So I don't know where
dog clothing is just a collar.
I will say that in my house, and this is not a joke, when we take off my dog's collar at the end of the day, we call it putting on her pajamas.
Okay,
her getting
yeah.
naked is putting on her pajamas.
So when your dog comes home from work and you take off its collar,
she's getting in comfy clothes.
Okay,
which
yeah,
is
it's
no
like
clothes.
Mr. Rogers in a lot.
Exactly.
You should be put in jail for doing that.
What did you think about Mr. Rogers? He would come. He would be wearing a shirt and tie, presumably.
Yes.
When he, if I'm remembering it correctly, I would always I would get there like a couple minutes late usually because CSI would end and it would always go over. You know how they would trick you and mm-hmm. they would go over like by 1 or 2 minutes mm-hmm. to get you to watch the next program. Then you cut over to what you really want to watch. So I would always get there a little late. But I think he comes wearing a shirt and tie.
He comes with a sweater on, and I
no,
always...
he puts the sweater on when he gets there.
He takes a shirt and tie
because he. Because, like, that was the thing.
He's
he, like, his day job was he managed, like, a slaughterhouse or something like that, where he, like, he crunched the numbers to right. underpay the workers. And then he'd come home
right.
and he would
and
have to,
and
like,
overkill the cows.
Make them feel it more.
Yeah, exactly.
I only ever remember him putting on a sweater.
Yeah, that's so, what I'm saying. He put on a sweater.
But there was a step before that where he had a shirt and tie that he was taking
yeah,
off?
Yeah, because sweater was comfortable clothes.
Yes.
So he was wearing something else.
Yeah,
was he bare?
Walk in the door, Kink Friday, would slowly undress him.
Did you say Kink Friday?
King.
Oh, okay, because Kink Friday.
It's your Twitter handle.
So, but there's a step in there where he's not wearing, he's wearing neither. He's not wearing his.
But he's not bare-chested, right?
I don't think he ever put on a leather jacket, so no.
No, I feel like we would know if he had a leather jacket on because it just would be such a different vibe from him.
It really would. Although I think he was up for playing the Fonz in the early Happy Days episodes, and Henry Winkler got it. So
he
that
tested for it. Yeah, that footage is amazing.
I would love to see that footage. All right, I'm closing the floor for questions. Wow, not a lot of questions, guys.
You didn't give us a chance.
Well, I'm sorry, but you know, you knew the rules. There's no warning of when I would close the floor.
I didn't feel like I had my question answered. What kind of VIP access is it?
I'm sorry. I closed the floor. That's them's the rules. We're going to have to vote. All right, guys. So let's vote here. I'm going to go to you, Max, first. How are you going to vote in this diabolical Schindler's List of a choice? That's what they say, right? Where you have two terrible choices?
Yeah, when the list had two names on it and they had to pick one.
It's a real Schindler's List?
Yeah. I'm graduation ceremonies all day long.
Graduation ceremonies. Mm-hmm. You want the VIP access to anyone you want?
Anyone I want.
How many graduation ceremonies would you like to go to per year if you could?
I think if I go to two per year, which sounds about right, it pays for itself.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And two sounds right to you in what way?
I mean, that just feels like the general rhythm of people I know that are finishing stuff.
These things
that
are usually happening in May or June.
Generally, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dads
so
and grads.
That's my busy season, personally, for going to graduations.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, great.
It's slow season now.
An interesting vote from an interesting player. All right, let's go to Roman. Roman, how are you voting here?
I guess I will vote for putting a big graduation cap on top of the amphitheater where the graduation is happening.
So like Staples Center, when you see it, yes. To you, it's
an informal,
it's like a bald head.
Yes. It's someone.
It's like looking at Patrick Stewart or something.
Yes, exactly.
And Patrick Stewart, when he's on the Enterprise, he should be wearing like an admiral's cap or
I'd,
something,
I'd
shouldn't
appreciate
he?
That for sure.
I yeah. get hard just walking into Staples Center. That's
why is that, sir?
It's just... You gotta shout. You gotta say something from far away.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest places in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean,
hooray!
We're saying hooray.
All right, well, speaking of saying hooray, maybe we'll say that after hearing how you vote. How are you voting?
Well, I don't like that VIP section, so I never got to ask questions about that briefcase.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That seemed interesting, but I guess Al's briefcase.
Okay, so briefcase over here. We have VIP section over here, and then Roman, I can't remember exactly what your vote is to put a cap onto.
And you only get to do that if you're a VIP. I'm voting for the VIP section.
Okay, all right, there we go. Well, let's tally up the points here. Let's see, we have the people who voted for VIP section get 1 point, And the people who voted for the briefcase get 900 points. So who voted for – oh, well, God, Daniel, at 900-1-1, you are our winner.
Oh.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I might be dying.
I think you are. Why don't you want us to call an ambulance for you?
Because it's always been my dream to shout out lines from the other side, ultimate far away.
That's as far away as you get. Maybe hell might be even further. I don't know.
They're equidistant.
Yeah, they're just north and south.
Yeah, up and down. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you look like you're slipping away. Before you do, let's. That's how we play. Would you rather? Right. Congrats to our winner.
Here comes the dragon.
Can you hang on just a little bit longer?
Here comes the dragon.
I think you're talking about that bright light. Just hold on a little bit longer because we just have one last feature on the show, and it's a little something that we call plugs. I like it. That was Comedy Beatbox by Don the Fawn. Don the Fawn. It would be interesting if it was Don's the Fawns. And Mr. Rogers just came in. Wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah. All right. What are we plugging? Max, obviously, we have the Comedy Lineup Part 2.
Yes. Check that out on Netflix. Don't watch the others. Just watch mine.
Just yours and laugh once at the very end.
Yes. One big laugh and film yourself while doing it. Tag me.
Film yourself while coming on the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
5, 3, 4, 1.
Yeah.
Roman, obviously vote this November. You want more people to vote or less people to vote? Which type of politician are you?
I want more people to vote for me, but less people to vote for my opponent.
So you'd like to disenfranchise the opposition's voters.
If you've got to vote for Comstock or Wexton, don't vote.
This
is not the time to vote.
Okay. But if you want to vote for you, and there may be upwards of 36 people willing to vote for you.
Vote for me, and if you can do it more than once, do it.
Sure. And if you can shout it at people, like Daniel over here would,
yes,
even better. And who are the 36 people voting for you?
I'm not legally obligated to say the names.
I know you're not legally obligated.
Wow, you're such a straight shooter.
I know you're not legally obligated to. I'm asking you.
I won't.
Wait, are you legally obligated not to say the names? Or
no,
you're not?
I can. But I won't do it unless if I'm legally obligated.
Oh, okay. All right. I want to plug, there's new Threedom shirts in the store, the Suckin' on Chili Dogs t-shirts are out there. So if you're a fan of Threedom, go check those out and listen to the REM show. We just have a few more left. So listen to that on Wednesdays, me and Adam Scott talking about the band REM. And Daniel, can you plug anything?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of Earwolf, even though the building yawns at me. I'm trying to get closer.
Yeah, get a little closer. Oh, God.
No. I want to plug a new project on Stitcher Premium.
New project on Stitcher Premium.
It's called My Dead Wife.
My Dead Wife.
The Robot Car.
The Robot Car. My Dead Wife, the Robot Car.
Starring Matt Besser and Mary Holland.
Okay. What is it?
It's in the title.
It's just My Dead Wife, the Robot Car. That's all you need to know about it. Mm-hmm. Like, is it a 15-hour?
10 episodes.
10 episodes of how long?
Not.
You don't even know. Okay, so it's a 10-episode series.
Yeah.
Are all 10 being released at the same time?
Or? One at a time. You're torturing me.
Well, I'm sorry.
You know the answers.
I actually do not. But My Dead Wife, that's Stitcher Premium, and people can look for it.
Yeah, offer code improv, Stitcher.
Or Premium. Threedom might get you there as well.
Yeah, but don't you have enough, Scott?
Don't you have enough? Okay, well, that's great, Daniel. Thank you so much.
Hey, Scott, excuse me.
Oh, hey.
Sorry, man. I just
Hey, Matt Besser.
Hey, everybody.
Besser just hurdled the glass shards in the window.
Yeah, broken glass. Hey, I have a good cause. I'm going to be in Arkansas September 14th and 15th to do two Vote Them Out shows for District 25. If you're in Arkansas, go to mattbesser.com to find more about these shows. But we're going to try to turn some purple districts blue.
Are you just running around telling people about Arkansas things? Just running around building to building? Or what do you do? What's happening?
I'm going to the different shows to try to fight the good fight in the midterms, just like this politician.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you guys have very different platforms.
How do you feel about
Are you a Democrat?
Tubbs. I'm independent.
Oh, okay.
You think purple things should be covered up by socks or clothes. It's probably by veins and blood. And
right, yeah. Okay, well.
I don't follow all the things here, Scott.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you haven't been here the whole time. Yeah, sure. All right, see you later, Matt.
Later. I see you, Matt. Big fan.
All right, so let's close up the old plug bag. I think that does it for the plugs. Here we go.
Whoa, what a bag. It's time to open it.
Apologize for that. All right. Just a few more months of that. All right. That's going to do it for us. Max, I want to thank you so much. Thanks.
Thanks for having me here.
You're going to stick around for another hour and a half, and we're going to do your last episode.
It's so hard to say goodbye, but I'm about to.
Great. All right. And Roman, good luck to you.
Thank you.
How many people are going to vote for your opponents?
I don't have those numbers.
But probably in the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands?
I'm hoping it's 35 or less.
So you don't think you're getting any more votes between now and Election Day?
Maybe I'll get a bump from appearing on this podcast, but...
Mm-hmm. 35 or less sounds like my Tinder matches.
Here it comes! Wait for it!
Wait for what? You dying?
No, Scott, look! My lips aren't moving. These lads are coming from the other side.
Oh, my God. He is dead. This isn't the first time someone's died at the end of a show.
I've done it. I've crossed through the barrier of life and death.
We're not
ever alive from far away.
We're not seeing you. So let's hear it then.
I just did it.
Oh, wait. That was it?
That was it.
I don't think.
Here it goes.
I don't think it's going to make the show.
What?
I don't think it's going to make it. We're going to cut it out.
Scott, don't you have enough?
Our line producer, Scott's line producer, crunched the numbers and it just doesn't
work out. Yeah, we don't even have enough for a 5 and under. I'm so sorry.
All right.
Is everyone you've ever known up with you there?
Yeah, what's it like up there? Can you answer any questions? Maybe we'll keep those in if they're interesting.
Oh, there's Barbara Harris.
Okay, well, that's sort of interesting. She passed away recently. All right, well, thanks to you, Daniel. Good luck up there. And you're in heaven, not hell?
I think so. I mean, Barbara Harris.
Okay, yeah, you're in good company, just like Topher Grace. All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks, bye. Fingertips. We love them. They touch things, you know? They have fingerprints. Those are the two main things your fingertips are good for. Touching things and leaving fingerprints all over glasses, all over, and at crime scenes. Like, can you imagine if we had DNA testing, but humans didn't have fingertips and fingerprints? Can you imagine that world? CSI would be so much more boring. And we like it to be interesting, don't we, when we watch CSI? This is not an ad for CSI. What I'm talking about is we like things at our fingertips. We like the instruments with which we use to murder people on these CSIs. We like them to be, you know, relatively close to us. And we like all of the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service. We like them right at our fingertips, don't we? But it's not that great when we have to go to the U.S. Postal Service. We have to get in our car or on our bike, or we have to call one of these rideshare services that are so popular now. I don't want to say their names, but you know which ones I'm talking about. I left my wallet in one the other day, and they very nicely gave it back to me. I could give them a shout out, but I'm not talking about them right now because I'm talking about Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings all of the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to those aforementioned fingertips. Here's what you do. All you got to do is simply create your Stamps.com account in minutes online, and then you can buy, you can print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. They do not care. From postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic to international, they don't care what you do with it, all using your own computer and printer. Let me tell you, it is a click, print, mail, and you're done kind of situation. And that's how you know you're in like Flynn. Stamps.com makes it easy. And this is the lengths that they're willing to go to. And I know you're not going to believe me when I say this. They will even send you a digital scale. Can you believe that? They will even do that. And what the scale does is it automatically calculates exact postage, but they will go to those types of lengths to get you the Stamps.com experience that you truly deserve. Stamps.com will help you decide the best class of mail based upon your needs. There's no need to lease these expensive postage meters, and there are no long-term commitments, which if you're getting married, you want one. But other than that, you don't want them. So we use Stamps.com right now. We've used them for years. They're one of our earliest sponsors, and they are quality. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. That digital scale I was talking about. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and then type in bang bang. Just one word, bang bang, bang bang, bang bang. That's Stamps.com, enter bang bang. I have never said anything negative about the post office in my life, and I defy anyone to provide any sort of tape of me ever saying anything negative about the post office. But Stamps.com takes all the wonderful aspects of the post office and perfects them because it's all right there in your home. Stamps.com, bang bang, in the top of the homepage by clicking on that microphone, and I will see you never at the post office.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Reza Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.
Remember the first time you learned how to ride a bicycle? Just taking your feet off of the ground and putting them on those pedals. And oh no, nothing's holding you up except your own sense of balance. Oh gosh, the nostalgia for something like that. Well, you know what? You can experience it again this spring. Get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike. That's right. They have an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, including mine, poor. It's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Go to electricebikes.com to discover e-bikes that start at just $799. With the XP Lite, anyone can ride with a variety of models designed to be a better mode of transportation. There's the zippy and affordable XP Lite, a great start to any e-bike journey. And we also have the Expedition. That's right, the letter X and then Pedition, a sturdy and versatile cargo e-bike that can hold up to 450 pounds. You know what? Electric e-bikes, they gave my good friend Paul F. Tompkins one of these things. He loves it. He's tootling around every day on it. Ring, ring.
Hello, hello, everyone. It's improved his social life. He used to be a hermit, used to be sort of a Scrooge-like miser character, and now he's out there on that electric e-bike saying hello to the entire community. And you can, too. Go full throttle into spring with electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. Please, please, please mention the Comedy Bang Bang the podcast sent you in the post-checkout survey. That is electric, L-E-C-T-R-I-C, and then ebikes.com. That's how you get there. Okay, bye!